thank you for joining us today. This is Scott Becker with the Becker Group Business Strategy Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by an entrepreneur and legal practitioner, Rachel V. Rose of the Rachel V. Rose Law Firm. Rachel, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Certainly, Scott, and thank you for having me here today. As Scott mentioned, I am an attorney and I live in Houston, Texas. I have had my own law firm since the beginning of 2012. A little bit about my background. I began my career on Capitol Hill, and then being undecided between law school and medical school, I actually went on to pharmaceutical and medical device sales. From there, I went to work on Wall Street and at PwC after obtaining my MBA from Vanderbilt with minors in healthcare and entrepreneurship. During law school at Stetson University, I clerked for a judge, worked at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and also interned at the Royal College of Nursing in London. What I did to build my practice really was four things. First, I had a business plan. Secondly, I executed that business plan. Thirdly, I made sure that I had adequate funding. And fourth, I made sure that I became a subject matter expert in terms of healthcare, cybersecurity, securities law, and also key TAM and Dodd-Frank litigation.
When you started your practice in 2012, was that scary? Was that exciting? You mentioned the business plan. Can you tell us whether that was a 3-page business plan, an 80-page business plan? I know you talk about that regularly in your pieces of advice for people. Tell us a little bit about your emotions. Were you scared, excited in starting your practice? And then the business plan, short, long, what were the core parts of it?
So I learned about entrepreneurship through my courses at Vanderbilt, but my law practice was not the first time that I ventured into the business world with my own entity. During business school, I actually started my own consulting firm, and I was successful with that and ultimately went on to work at PricewaterhouseCoopers. What I learned from entrepreneurs that would come in and speak to us at Vanderbilt was that, A, if you partner with someone, you want to make sure that you have legal documents in place to protect yourself and that you trust that person. And secondly, they said, if you're not scared, then something's not right. So it should be a mix of excitement as well as fear, because the unknown is always fearful. And also in 2012, when I look back, that was only a couple of years post the financial crisis. So whenever I started my business plan, it was somewhere between 3 pages and 80 pages. And I framed it in the way that I had done my consulting business plan years earlier. So I always recommend that people do their mission statement and their vision. And from there, where do they want to go? And in microeconomics, that's called the ramp up period. How are they going to be funded? What are expenses and what's your projected break-even point? But what is crucial is that you have enough in reserves and enough funding that you can tap into to make sure that you're covered, because you might hit that mark earlier, but you might hit it later as well. And again, having a sales background, that's something that I was familiar with and comfortable with as well. So for me and my business plan, I really focused on those aspects as well as growing my business through public speaking, writing articles, and becoming a subject matter expert.
Take us through again the 3 to 4 parts of the business plan, just very quickly to summarize those, the 3 to 4 key parts of your business plan. Then I want to ask you about the single most important thing in building your practice.
Okay. So the business plan, I would say the main items to focus on are always your objectives. That's crucial. The second part, obviously, are the finances. If you don't have financial wherewithal or you don't know when your next paycheck is coming in, you absolutely need to make sure that you have budgeted and allocated for that, as well as had your funding sources known up front. And then lastly, you want to make sure that you know how you're going to execute that business plan and how you're going to build your practice. So you have your objectives, your financing, the step-by-step, which in business school terms is a combination of your SWOT analysis, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, as well as how you're going to navigate into a successful business.
What are the two to three most important things you've done in building your practice? What are the single most important, the two to three most important things you've done in building your practice?
So the first item that's most important in any relationship is trust. And so I really do work closely with my clients to establish trust. And if I don't know something, then I say I don't know and I'll get back to you. And that helps to establish that foundation for the relationship. The two items that I've done in particular have been A, publishing and speaking on select areas of the law, and then lastly, doing pro bono work. And through that, I was able to network and meet a lot of partners in large law firms who then opened other opportunities for me. And I refer to some of those practices today, and they often will contact me on certain matters as well.
So a lot of public speaking, a lot of pro bono, just for relationship building and connections, and then really having a subject matter expertise. Fair statement?
Fair statement.
And next concept is, when you evaluate a case and a client, what's the single most important issue, or what are the factors you look at in evaluating a case or client?
So, Scott, there are primarily four items that I look at when evaluating a case. And typically, I do the plaintiff side under the False Claims Act and Dodd-Frank, which are very nuanced in their own right. And both require the clearing of the 9B standard, which, as lawyers know, is to plead fraud with particularity. In turn, that requires knowing the who, what, when, where, why, and how. So first, I see if there's a legal basis for the case. Second, I see if there's adequate evidence to support what's required under a 9B standard. Next, I evaluate the credibility of the client. And lastly, I look to see if there are adequate damages available for the cost and time that's required for that particular type of case.
So let me ask you a final question. You're sort of living the American dream. You've built your own practice from scratch, literally. You've got this great background. You're a Vanderbilt Business School graduate. You've got a law degree. You've had involvement in healthcare. Do you ever look at yourself and having built your own successful practice and ever take a chance to step back and applaud what you've done?
I think, like most people who are driven, oftentimes I am my own worst critic or hardest on myself, but it is very gratifying whenever, for example, I receive emails from other lawyers around the country on my presentations or receive feedback on an article. I've also been very fortunate to be on leadership positions, not only for UNICEF, but also I'm the current chair of the Federal Bar Association's Government Relations Committee, and I was just welcomed into the Texas Bar College, which, as I told my family, it basically means I'm a nerd and I read a lot. But it's those types of recognition that, quite honestly, are very rewarding and give me that staying power and kind of the pat on the back that I often don't give myself.
Well, I want to congratulate you. You've really done a magnificent job of building something from scratch. We view business success as the first goal is, you know, do you have revenues or not? Do you pre-revenues or not? You're well past that. The second goal is, can you support yourself? Can you support your family? Can you support your practice? You've passed that stage. You've got a magnificent reputation. So Rachel, just a great pleasure to deal with you today and get a chance to visit with you today on these issues. And congratulations for what you've accomplished.
Thank you, Scott. It was my pleasure as well.
Thank you.